Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer in New York. And Access Astrology hosts on Monday night. Nights for the show is for March 25th, 2013. And I'm joined tonight by Mark.
Who's actually about to drop off with a sore throat.
Mark's about to disappear with a sore throat. So we're waiting for Heather to come. Because when he hangs up, I'll get the blog, I'll get the conference call music.
Yep.
Yeah, ma'am. Yeah. Well, maybe you can just, like, put your phone down and go to sleep. And I'll hang up on you in half an hour. And Mark, who is feeling ill, so he was going to hang up, but Heather hasn't shown up yet. It's such a Mercury retrograde kind of day. And I'm feeling really perky, and I have my phone back, except now I'm calling in on the phone, so the conference call will play the music, the bad music. If you hang up. So hopefully Heather will show up in a second and then you can hang up. Or you can hang up and just put your phone down. I'll hang up on you in half an hour. At any rate, what we do here at Access Astrology is we talk about the upcoming weather and what's going on. And, of course, Mercury's retrograde, still in its retrograde shadow, but it's in Pisces, so it's a little confusing. Because Mark did say right from the beginning, I'm not going to be on the show tonight. I want to take a nap. I want to go to sleep because I'm feeling bad. So, do you want to say anything before you hang up or put the phone down? Did you put the phone down? I think you put the phone down. Okay, so forward we go. I'm Ann Ortley, and we'll talk a little bit about what's going on in the sky and how it works and how it feels and how to work with it. And hopefully Heather will be joining us on the conference call line here. So the week ahead is the week of March 25th, we have a lot of energy this week, and it's a lot of energy around interesting things, lots of choices. We do have the finger of God that I've been writing about in my column for the last few months that is perfecting this week, and it will then start to break up. So there will, you know, I've been saying it ends at the end of March, and it occurred to me I wasn't 100% clear about that. It's going to perfect this week, and then it's going to start to break up and go off into its own spaces. Jupiter's going to pull away from being the apex, and then the finger is going to sit there and kind of fall apart a little. And then it'll tighten up. Saturn and Pluto are still continuing their evolutionary dance, but Jupiter's not going to be the apex anymore. It's just the two of them talking to each other, which they're going to do for the rest of this year. But the sense of feeling that you have to make some kind of decision or you have to do something or else, that will fade a bit. It won't feel nearly as intense, as focused, as directed as it does right now. This week we also have a lovely full moon, which echoes back to the new moon from September of 2011. Now there's a big lunar. I mean, we know about the 30-day cycle, so there was a new moon a couple weeks ago on March 11th. But there also is a new moon at 4 degrees of Libra, which is pretty close to the degrees that this full moon is last September of 2011, a year and a half ago, 20 months ago. Then the planets go, moon, you know, la da da da. 9 months later, there is a opening square in the Cancer time. That was last summer, around July 26th, when we were in the Cancer sun, Libra moon. And then 10 months later now, we have the full moon. And then 10 months from now, when we get to Capricorn time, we'll have the closing square in January of next year. And then we'll be done. In another 10 months, we get to the new moon in September. this cycle is called the Metonic cycle. And if you think about it, if you're paying attention, which a lot of us don't, every 19 years you have a new moon at the same degree in your chart. So it takes, you know, the moon that long to go back around to get back to that same degree. Because every year there's a new moon somewhere in your chart. And then, you know, in every house of your chart there's a new moon every month, but it moves around your chart in order. So this is it's an important cycle to watch because the moon's a lot about creation, about how we work with others, about that energy of our partnerships, our relationships, and our emotional needs and what those are. There's a very strong energy around that. So when we see that, we go, okay, we've got this intense energy that's culminating. Now, this new moon, this full moon really, on Wednesday, very powerful full moon, big deal. And it's got a great deal of energy around, it's in T-square, has a great deal of energy with the moon opposite the sun. And there's a lot of planets in Aries sitting next to the sun. And then they all square Pluto in Capricorn. So that's a very strong energy around the creation energy, the positive creation and the negative, you know, because Pluto involved is strong. At the same time, on the day of the new moon, the full moon rather, I'm going to say that all... Yeah, this is what we weren't working for, is this bad noise. Okay, I'm going to hang up and call right back in. Mark hung up on us. Yeah, not good.
You entered access code 760882.
Okay, I'm back in. Yeah, that's the bad music that plays on the lovely phone. So, at any rate, I guess he hung up on us. That was Mark going to bed. Good, it was right at the T-square, right at the moment of the T-square. So when we watch that T-square, we have the full moon, and we have Pluto squaring it, and Mars is going to square that. And actually, literally, as I said, Mars square Pluto, he hung up. We love the astrology of these things. Mars squares Pluto in the sky, activating the finger of God, right? And then a little bit later in the day, Jupiter forms the inconjunct to Pluto. It's 11:31. And he then says, okay, now I'm leaving. And he starts to roll. So it's a very powerful full moon because the sun and the moon are talking to each other. And Venus and Uranus and Mars are in the story talking to each other. There's also a fiery finger of God. There's the one that we've been talking about for months and months, which is the Saturn, Pluto, and Jupiter. But there's a minor finger of God, too. Not minor, because no finger of God is minor, but there's one that's involving the fire planets, aspecting Saturn as the apex and Jupiter as the legs. So the legs are the fire energies of Aries and the Jupiter pointing at Saturn. So when those planets kick... Kind of think of it as kicking a leg, you know, when you kick something and it moves, or if you think of it as kind of a pointing device, when you hit one of the arms of the pointing device, it spins, kind of like a little counter. When that all happens this week, it's very profound, and it presents the choice. Now, we're out of all that nonlinear time that we were in for seemingly for months, and now we are free of it because there's four planets in fire. And two asteroids. So, you know, a lot of fire energy now, a lot of passion, a lot of excitement, a lot of vroom, vroom. As we finish the fire piece, we then go a little bit later in the week, and we have all these planets access or join up with the sun joins with Venus, the sun joins with Uranus, Venus joins with Uranus on Thursday. Okay, and now when Venus joins with Uranus, it starts a new one-year cycle that we talk about. But Mark and I sponsored a woman in New York, Ariel Gutman, who spoke about what's called the Venus star point. And in the course of 8 years, Venus traces a pentacle in the sky. So she's forming a pentacle in the heavens and asking each of us for the next 8 years. We're going to begin a new cycle around money and love and relationships and whatever, wherever you have seven in your chart, Aries, the house of seven Aries, that house is going to start a new 8-year cycle. So your job this week, because it's not just a 1-year, it's an 8-year cycle, it is to watch for that energy to happen. And interestingly, Venus hits Uranus that day that she joins with the sun, and the sun hits Uranus that day. And they join with the sun. And they join together at 1:05, and then Venus comes to Uranus at 7:01 at night, and sun comes to Uranus at 8:38. And so there's a very strong energy there around that creative collective, okay, and kind of a zoom of energy in terms of how we're going to feel it. energetically in our lives and in our charts and in our world. I'm just looking to see if Heather's called in. I don't see her in any of the call-in numbers here. Okay, so I guess I'm keeping going by myself. All right, and then on the 29th, okay, Mercury comes along, and he stimulates the finger of God. He squares Jupiter. He sextiles Pluto. Now, Mercury, of course, is in water, so he's stimulating them kind of gently, and he, of course, trines Saturn in this journey. And so he sets up the finger of God, too. So we've got that finger of God getting stimulated a few times. And remember, there's two of them up there now. So we got both of them, the fire one and the evolutionary one. So basically, it's a rockin' week. And your job, should you decide to accept it or not, you can certainly take to your bed and hide under the covers, which is, you know, definitely recommended on sometimes on weeks like this, especially if you have planets at 11. You know, if you look in your chart and the planets are at the degree of 11, you're going to really be feeling this energy and kind of going, wow, I'm really feeling very kind of stunned, overwhelmed, attacked, processed, whatever. So it's very powerful. Then when we get to the 31st, the Sun and Venus come in and stimulate that finger of God on Sunday, on Easter Sunday. So we have Mars stimulating it on Tuesday. We have the Sun and Venus stimulating it on stimulating themselves on Thursday. Then they stimulate the finger of God. Mercury stimulates the finger of God Thursday, Friday. Venus stimulates the fingers of God on Sunday the 31st, and Saturn starts to stimulate them, and then he continues a little bit next week, or the Sun starts to stimulate them. So, you know, it's really, when I see weeks like this, I know I'm going to have a busy mailbox. I know people are going to be feeling like they're really making big decisions about who they are and what they're doing and what their point and purpose is, and it also on some level can feel a little overwhelming because it's just so much energy flying around. Now, what do you do when there's this much energy? That's the whole idea of why we have this show, is to say this is coming, it'll be big, notice it, feel it, it'll be illuminating, it'll be emotional, it'll be intense, it'll be evolutionary, and it'll be inspiring, hopefully. And you'll go, gee, this is what I really want to do. Or, you know what, I'm not doing that anymore. You can't make me. Because it's very much about that living in the moment and taking action in the moment on the future. Okay, very strong energy. So our job is to kind of be quiet. With this much stuff running around, it's a lot easier to watch it than participate in it. Now, you're going to probably be asked to participate. Somebody's going to say or do something. But think about what you want your response to be. Just kind of pause, because this is the kind of information where you, this is the kind of energy where you can get enormous insight into other people, into the people that you're involved with, that you're in relationship with, as part of the ongoing story of who they are and who they are in your life and who you are in their life. So it's very much a time of understanding on a profound level what you're here for, okay? And we, you know, I have a metaphysical piano teacher, and I am having a lot of Neptune, so I'm trying to use my Neptune up happily. So I'm taking lessons on how to play by ear, which is actually kind of interesting. We were playing some songs by ear today, Moon River, and, you know, different. You have to remember the song. That's the part I don't always remember. I can sing along with it when it's on the radio, but I don't always remember the whole tune. And we were talking about that creative process and that approaching, you know, having to stay in a very playful, in a very non-judgmental, because you're basically trying to build connections between the song in your head and the fingers on your keyboard. And if you judge it or criticize it, it shuts it down. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. You know, and I'm a Virgo, of course. I criticize it all the time. Ah, made a mistake again, you know. And Joseph's very good. He kind of goes, well, we're not calling it mistakes. We're calling it notes that didn't work, or we're calling it, you know, are we going to go higher? Do we have to go higher or lower? You know, kind of like learning how to think as you're talking to a piano and the piano is talking back. And it was a very interesting dialogue. So we're all going to have that this week. Mercury's in Pisces. Conversations are going to be a little weird. They're not going to be linear Everything else wants us to be linear, wants us to make a decision, wants us to decide, wants us to know, wants us to da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And Mercury still in Pisces is going, well, and he's right next to Neptune, and he's right near Chiron, so he really doesn't want to have to decide. He wants to kind of go, ooh, I don't want to decide. I kind of want to not have to. And, of course, Mercury in Pisces rules the Jupiter in Gemini, right? So that Jupiter in Gemini, which is one of the legs, and he's the leg in the T-square, you know, he's kind of not really interested in being decisive and clear and straightforward. So there's also a great opportunity to miss here, to misunderstand, or to understand it, but understand it through your own filters, rather than through what the person actually is trying to say, which is why it's so helpful to be silent in weeks like this, to just kind of watch the stuff go swirling by and go, okay, well, that's swirling by me. It really is. What's my vision in terms of how this is working? What do I actually want to do? And that's, if you can stand in that space, that's the place to be, because it'll just make it a lot easier. Okay, so we'll try and take some callers. I think it's just me by myself. So, all right, if you've called before, we're going to say, if you've called before and asked a couple questions, we'll move you along and take somebody else, although I have trouble saying goodbye to people. At any rate, we'll try. Okay, 708, you're on the air. How can I help?
Hello, Ann?
Yep.
Oh, my God, I'm so excited. This is the first time I made it through.
You made it through. Yay. Okay,
yeah.
You're a first-timer. Always good. What's your birth information?
February 5th, 1970, Chicago.
751970. Okay, where?
Chicago at 5:35 in the morning.
Okay, at 5:35 a.m. Okay, cool. And what's your question?
Oh, well, I'm going through some major life changes now. And, wow, where to begin? My north node is at 11 degrees.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I have the moving truck. Well, long story, I'll put it really quick because I know you have tons of callers. I'm having to move my whole past decade from a large space to a very small space in a short time to do so. And
okay.
The people who I have helping me are busy. There's so many things I really am concerned about. What? Oh, my God, I don't even know the question. If you could give any insight, would you please?
I like it when you don't know the question. That, you know, that's the finger of God. That's exactly what a finger of God feels like. You're like, I don't even know what the question is. I just know my whole life is changing. What's going to go on, right? So when we look at your case, your chart, February 5th, 1970, the most important thing, you know, is where Saturn is. He's at the top of the chart. He's saying you're finishing up a big cycle, and he's at 11, 10. He's also on your Pluto. So he's saying to you, I'm really ending a 29-year cycle back to 1983 when you were 13. Okay, so that's part one. Part two, your progressed sun right now is 29 degrees Pisces. So you were born in Aquarius. You were in Aquarius for 13 and some odd years. Then you turned into a Pisces that you've been for 30 years. And now you're about to turn into an Aries. So when you're at the very last degree of a sign, what the universe says is, okay, we're wrapping up a big lot. And you said, I'm wrapping up the last 10 years of my life. Well, the chart says you're wrapping up the last 30 years of your life, and you're getting ready for this whole new bloom. And it is a big ending because Pisces is the last sign of the zodiac, right? And so Pisces at the last degree of the last sign, your sun at the last degree of the last sign, really is evolving. But there was something that started 2 years ago that actually is where you're going to be going next. So it's not forever, but it is definitely a big leaving, a big leave-taking. And trust it, you know, trust the process. Pluto's in your 12th house, Saturn's in your midheaven, and they're shooting the energy into your 5th house of creativity. So there's something in this journey that you're undertaking with this place ending and starting a new place that is about you re-embracing your own personal creativity and allowing yourself to kind of speak in a different voice from what you necessarily want to speak as, right? And as a Capricorn rising, you're a serious guy. You got Saturn in the third, which is also why you had trouble forming a question. But it also is understanding that this for you represents a very big turning point. Now, you're not going to really know how it turns out until July, okay, because Saturn's going to go back and park on your Jupiter in May, June, July. And he rules your hopes and dreams. He rules the direction you're heading next, and he co-rules your career, and he also co-rules your money. So you're really in a really big state of flux. So your job is to release everything that really isn't necessary between now and the first week in July, and then say, okay, what is it I truly want? And you also have the nodes of fate going through your career house. So this is bringing a big career change for you, too, as you downsize and take everything from this big space into a smaller space. What it asks you to do is to say, well, what is really essential? Now, that progressed sun, when it changes, is an enormous shift. Not only are you finishing a 30-year cycle, you're finishing a 360-year cycle if we do past lives. And that happens the week of September 1st. So when it shifts, it's enormous. And I know I had a big shift this year, last year, when my solar arc moon went into Taurus. And it was like huge. So you're having it, but you're ending a whole huge life cycle and starting a whole huge new life cycle that runs for 30 years or 360 years as of August 26th. So it's enormous. Is this Nick?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I thought I recognized your voice when you said from Chicago. Ah, I got through. Okay, cool. So
awesome.
You got another question in there. I can hear it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know if whether the change will be positive or not. I feel like it will be because from listening to your weekly weather and your column, I sort of, rather than follow the negative aspects of it, I've really been embracing the change, spiritual and positive, and I hope it will be positive. I just, there's always those underlying questions of, oh, my God, is this place going to be okay? And I know for time reasons, maybe I could email you about specifics about the move, but... really, it's I'm so overwhelmed with it. I just, I'm open for any other suggestions that you think may.
Right.
Do you see any dangers? I'm really security and, I guess, financial stability, or is that depending on really my decisions and choices that I do?
It's going to depend on a whole bunch of stuff, but it's going to be completely different because you're moving from being ruled by Jupiter in Scorpio into being ruled by your Mars, right? Natally, you have Mars in Aries, which is a nice placement to have your money ruled by. And, the sun as it changes, and you being changed totally from being Piscean into being very Aries. So it's a huge shift. It's I went from Aries into Taurus, from Mars being ruled by Mars into being ruled by Venus. And it was just really profound on many, many levels. And I was, I'm still processing, and it's been a couple years because it takes a while to get your grounding and your feet. So for you, it's also all taking place in your house of how you're valued, your money, what's important to you. When we look at your chart, one of the things you're supposed to be is a pioneer, because you have all those planets in the first quadrant. And you also have that. You're also born on a balsamic moon. So what happens is you have very, very intense relationships with people. And when the karma is served, the balsamic moon will pop you out of that and it'll start a whole new chapter in your life. It'll pop you out of the relationship. So your job is always to end relationships on a high note and to say, I'm taking the high path on this one, good, bad, or indifferent, and how it ended. I want to make sure that I am focused on the vision of what could be, and I balance this and end this with love and kindness. Because you have Venus next to your sun. Now this week, interestingly, the sun and Venus are forming an aspect in the sky. I said before about Ariel Gutman, the Venus star point. You were born on a Venus star point, okay? Because you're born.
Right.
Yeah, you're born a couple days after Venus joins the sun. So there's a Venus star point this week on Thursday, which starts a new 8-year cycle for you, for sure, in the house of your money. But also as a balsamic moon person with all those planets in the first quadrant, a lot of what you're doing in this lifetime is very much being a visionary, seeing things that other people don't see quite the same way you do, and implementing them. Now, when you're a Pisces, you kind of go with the flow. Other people's agendas drive you. You know, you're in service to others. You're in service to that lovely Jupiter that you have up there in the ninth house, which is a great place to be in service to, or into your Neptune in Sag, also the highest elevated planet. Now you're turning into an Aries. So Aries becomes more about, okay, this is what I have to do. This is my vision. This is a whole new season for you. This is springtime in Nick's life. Not to say you haven't had a nice life up until now, but you're going to have this whole new energy because your sun is exalted in Aries. It's in the second house of money. Now, that's in August, so between now and then it can feel a little tight. But it's also saying, I'm really starting this whole new path and this whole new vision for myself. So a lot of times when we're in that visioning place, it isn't 100% clear how it's going to show up. Now, one of the things that's also going to happen this summer that ties really lovely into your chart is there's a Star of David that's forming July, August, September. And for all the listeners, this is a big, big Star of David in the heavens. Saturn and Jupiter and Neptune are going to be forming a grand trine in water. So they are all, Saturn and Jupiter are all about growing and fertility. And, of course, Neptune is the new vision that we have and how it goes. And then there's an Earth trine that forms between the node of fate and Venus and Pluto, Venus and Virgo and Pluto. So it's about the processes that we take. Now, in your case, Nick, it's right on your chart, right on your nodes of fate. You're on your south node at 11, and it picks up your Saturn in the third house where the node is going to be, but also you have your Saturn there, and then, of course, Pluto in the 12th. So for you, it looks like a Star of David. So imagine the water planets having a big triangle and the Earth planets having, so it looks like a six-point star. It's also called a grand sextile. So it's a highly fertile, highly productive, highly creative period of time. So as you pull all this stuff in, I want you to think of yourself as kind of a little caterpillar. And you're pulling it all in and you're making a little cocoon. And you're going to have a string coming out of your butt and you're going to be making a cocoon. You don't really know where you're going yet, but you know it's happening. And then you're going to go through this metamorphosis over the next few months. And then come July, you're going to hatch, and you're going to be a butterfly, and you're going to come out, and you're going to go, so, like, where'd my legs go? And what are these wings? And then you're going to figure out how to fly, and then come end of August, you're taking off because your progressed sun is in Aries, and it just starts this whole new 30-year life cycle for you that's enormous. And it actually is one of the biggest ones you've ever had because it rules the sun rules the seventh house in your chart. So it's your sun's exalted answering to that seventh house of how you work with others. So,
And I love you so much. You're incredible.
Oh, thanks, Nick. So any other questions? Just remember to breathe, right? Because with your chart, it's going to be a little hard sometimes.
Oh, my God. Right? I realized that. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You hold your breath with Saturn in the third. You have to go, okay, deep breaths, deep breaths. And the other thing I would say is ask your guides for help. This is being very guided. Like whatever is happening with your chart, you've got planets that are getting set off by that finger of God, but you also have in your chart a finger of God, right? So when you have one natally, it tends to be, God shows up and says, okay, we're changing the plan now, time for a new vision. So when you have a finger of God natally, you can definitely feel that, okay, I'm really working it. Your finger of God is between your south node, your Pallas Athena, your Venus, and your Eris, and between your direction in life and your south node and your Eris. So don't be angry or upset. Just kind of be in the flow, totally in the flow, and that will be the best way to go through this. And then that's the summer. That finger of God, the sextile is huge, and it's for everybody. We're all going to get to partake in that one. This one, the beginning of the year is hard because we're making big decisions about our direction. Back end of the year is really lovely because there's so much growing, the middle part, and then we really bloom at the back. So On that note, the British lady has said, I got to go. So I wish you all a great week. Remember, big evolutionary, new Venus Sun. Take time over the week, Wednesday, Thursday, to kind of say, okay, I'm initiating a new eight-year cycle about my direction in life, and kind of pipe it in there and say, okay, forward we go. Take care. This is Ann Ortley, one of three. I don't know where everybody – I know Mark's sleeping. Heather, I don't know what happened to her. And for all the rest of you, take care and have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.